You're listening to the audiobook, There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, by Greg Campbell, narrated by the author. Rethinking corporate life as believers and followers of Jesus, the church. And now, part two of A Bigger View of Church, continuing the reading from Living in the Relational Church by Wayne Jacobson. Lone Rangers need not apply. You've probably heard people say such things, who proved to be Lone Rangers, never seeming to thrive in the life of Jesus. But that is a long way from who God's people really are. Just as institutions can't be the church by declaring it so, neither can individuals. Who is the church in the world? Is it not those who live the same confession Peter offered? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are part of the church as you live under the head, following him as your Lord and leader. You can't be the church by following someone else who is doing that. You have to do it yourself. And following him will not lead you to independence. How can it? God is a community, and wherever he is known, real community will emerge among his people. Father, Son, and Spirit have dwelt in true community for all eternity, knowing the sheer joy and wonder of sharing life, love, and glory with themselves. You can't touch his love and not find it drawing you toward others God puts in your path. As brothers and sisters begin to connect with each other in real fellowship, they will soon discover that what they know about God is always in part, as if through a darkened window. But in fellowship among believers who are growing to know him better, there is always a fullness of wisdom and revelation. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 1 that the church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Imagine any singular group of people fulfilling that incredible promise. The reason why our view of God is often limited is because institutions are only able to pull people together who see the same thing in the same way. Their view through the darkened glass never gets any clearer. They only grow more convinced that what they see is more accurate than what anyone else sees. God's kind of community, however, springs up among people who are pursuing a vibrant friendship with the living God. For I've thought the life of God flows to people through our so-called church structures, but it isn't so. Life does not exist in the church. It is only in Jesus. Those who gather then to get fed or pumped up to get through another week miss what relational church is all about. We can only find life in him, and once we find it there, our connection with other believers allows us to share that life together. Church cannot ever be a substitute for knowing him. We can't follow him by conforming to the religious system in which we find ourselves. And why would we want to? He's offered each of us the joy of knowing him every day. Institutional dynamics. That's why a growing personal relationship is critical to relational Christianity. It can only begin as people are equipped to know the living God and follow him. Having a growing relationship with him will teach you how to relate to other believers. It doesn't flow the other way around, and years of trying to make it do so have only disillusioned those who really want to know God better every day. Gene Edwards was right when he said, "The model for church life is found in Jesus' relationship with his disciples. He never taught them how to have a service or how to construct an organizational flowchart. He didn't tell them that church life was about attending a meeting, conforming to a group ethic, or regimenting people's lives by the most well-intentioned program. Instead, he taught them how to relate to God as Father and each other as brothers and sisters. The language he used with them, and indeed the language Paul uses in his letters, was not the language of institutions, but the language of family. Because most of what we call church today operates on institutional dynamics, many believers today have no idea what God has designed church life to be. Institutions must focus on creeds, programs, and procedures that attempt to get people to conform to the way we do things here. Usually, a group of top-heavy leadership draw the most attention, and people are encouraged to submit unquestioningly to their insights and counsel. Institutional dynamics encourage people to promote an image and does not free them to be real. Gossip and one-upsmanship games abound as people try to find their place, often at another's expense. The same things you see in the corporate world are the basics of life as an institution. And if you ever leave an institution, you will often be ignored. Many people who have left religious institutions have commented that they felt like they ceased to exist, even for people whom they had considered close friends. Family dynamics. Life as a family, however, is built on an entirely different set of methods and goals. In a healthy family, people are not cooperating to achieve an end, they are simply learning to relate to each other in love. In a healthy family, diversity is not only allowed, it's cherished. People don't relate to each other through lines of authority, but by functional gifting. If someone's car started to make strange noises on the way over, they feel no compulsion to ask the older brother to attend to it. They will already know who in the family has the most car sense and seek their help. Healthy families don't press people to conform, but let people grow together at their own pace. They have the freedom to disagree without separating into multiple families. They share together in each other's journey, serving with their gifts, offering insights and abilities where they are helpful, and supporting each other no matter what they go through. Many believers today are finding fresh encouragement in the one anothering scriptures that the New Testament encourages believers to do for each other. They are discovering that teaching, counseling, serving, offering hospitality, sharing confessions, praying for needs, admonishing the selfish, and all the rest are not things we hire a staff to provide for us, but what the body was meant to do for each other. As we live in Jesus together, he passes out gifts among the entire body that each can give and each receive from God through others. That's why some have said that there is more church going on in the parking lots on Sunday morning than is allowed to happen in the morning service. If you've ever experienced real, spontaneous fellowship among a group of believers, you don't need me to tell you how rich it is. The joy of journeying together, of not having to pretend, of having people support you in your weakness and affirm you in your gifts is reward enough. And yes, a lot of that can go on among believers who gather in institutional environments, but it isn't always there. The important thing is that you recognize family dynamics when you see them and embrace them wholeheartedly. Conversely, recognize hurtful institutional dynamics which have nothing to do with God's kingdom and take your distance from them guiltlessly. As much as Paul encouraged believers to get together in ways that encourage your life in God, he also told them to be free to walk away from environments that became destructive to that life. If he sends him leading you away from such a group, don't be condemned either by them or yourself. You will not be leaving the church at all. He may only be preparing you to find it in a more authentic way than you ever dreamed. Finding body life. So where do you go to find relational church life? Why, to Jesus, of course. That may sound simplistic, but where else can you go? Trust Jesus to provide the fellowship he wants you to have. Remember, his church is built on those who are learning to trust him. You might discover the freedom to live relational church right where you are. Don't worry about whether or not everyone else shares your same perspective. Simply look for opportunities to share life with people hungering to know him more fully. You may find, however, that some institutional structures actually devour those who hunger to follow God freely, and he might call you out. Many people leave one broken institution only to dive into another or start a new one on their own. Let me encourage you to slow down and don't do anything until he clearly speaks to you. Watch for the people he begins to connect your life with. Some may be lifetime friends, others new acquaintances. Don't hurry to start anything. Learn to recognize what he is doing in your area to provide meaningful connections between believers that are hungry to know him, his honesty, his grace, and his life. He has people who will share the journey with you and encourage your growth without manipulating you to conform to their expectations. Where you find that in your own locality may differ greatly from how someone else finds it in theirs. It might be in a Sunday morning gathering, with a neighbor up the street, in a home group, or with people God spontaneously brings across your path. However it comes, you'll find that church life could never be a once or twice a week event. It happens every day as we live our lives in him and share that with others. As you've read in these pages before, there are lots of ways Jesus calls his believers to share his life together. In our next issue, we'll look at what it means not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together and detail some of the ways God invites people to share his life together. I know it can be discouraging, looking for a depth of body life that it seems too few hunger for today. But Jesus would not have stirred your passion for it if he didn't have a way to meet it. It just may not come in the way you're expecting it. So don't focus so hard on any one thing that you miss the other doors he opens for you. Tell him how much you hunger to know an authentic body life that matches what he shared with his disciples. Ask him to connect you with people who share a passion to live in the dynamics of family. Then enjoy whatever connections he begins to make. Don't force it into your mold or feel the need to make a group of it. Just learn what it is to relate to brothers and sisters, even in groups of twos and threes, that lets Jesus be at the center. Love others in the same way God loves you, and you'll see the church Jesus is building all around you and all over the world. It will astound you. After all, he's been doing that for 2,000 years. He's actually amazingly good at it. Body Life is published periodically by Lifestream Ministries and is sent free of charge to anyone who requests it. Stop by the Lifestream Ministries website, lifestream.org, to request more information. You've been listening to There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, an audiobook by Greg Campbell. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or stop by the website gregshead.net/church. There you can download each chapter when it's available or subscribe in your favorite podcast reader. Thanks for listening, and we welcome your comments at gregshead.net/church.